Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's that, Barry? You're turning into a werewolf? Oh, that's terrible. Well, you sound quite happy about it, if I'm right in translating you. Oh, see, now you're one of the underrepresented communities and you can get funding to help make films that you've always wanted to with the help of Her Film Project. Why not follow at Her Film Project or go to herfilmproject.com? They sponsor this podcast, and if you don't go there and follow them, they might stop and then everyone will be killed. Bye, Barry. Yes, right, Barry. You'll eat their bumholes too. Right, but listen, Barry. You're going to have to go off and kill someone now. I need to do this. It's time for this. Hello listeners, it's 2018. I don't feel very well. Everyone's probably ill. If you aren't ill by now, you probably will be ill by the end of this podcast. And if you stop listening at any point, you definitely will become ill. That is the threat. For new listeners, that's the way it's going to be. Just low-level threats throughout the podcast, combined with minor talk about film. Today, I went to the cinema with my friend Vicky O'Connell. Hello, Vicky.
Hi.
And we went to my local cinema, the Crouch End Pitch House. Nice cinema.
It's a lovely cinema.
What's your favourite cinema in the world?
Oh, it's got to be the one in Finchley, the Phoenix.
The one that Mark Kermode goes on about the whole time.
Probably, yeah. But it's a lovely cinema.
Have you seen, what's so nice about it?
The seats are really comfortable and it is just one screen, one wonder. And years and years ago when the League of Gentlemen released the League of Gentlemen film, which perhaps wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But the staff went to the most amazing lengths. We had a preview and all three of the League of Gentlemen actors were there. They did like a Q&A thing after the film. And so all the characters were there and it was really fantastic. All of the staff dressed up as characters from the film and from Royston Vasey, and they put so much effort into it and it was brilliant. This was before the refurb. But now they've got a lovely cafe, you can get a nice piece of cake and a gin and tonic and just sit in the cinema and enjoy the film. It's brilliant, I love it.
That's the one thing I've got to say about, as I noted you as we left our cinema, so it's not my voice breaking, it's me being a little bit ill, but I'm not making a thing about it. Is the mums with prams have taken over my cinema.
Oh, God, yeah. You had to kick a pram down the stairs.
I had to kick a pram down the stairs and pull a baby away from its mother's breast and smash. And, well, I had to rip its spine out. I know it seemed extreme, but if you don't...
You had to get out.
Yeah. Well, not that. When that cinema first started off, it was fine. Then she, one mother and a baby comes along.
Yeah.
Where I live in Crouch End, I've been here for about... since 2001, and it's been taken over by rich people who's sort of really posh wives, and maybe that's their own husbands, maybe, litter every single cafe up with huge prams.
Yeah, like the massive ones, like off-road wheels.
People who buy Range Rovers and only ever live in cities.
Yeah, and then have mini Range Rovers as a buggy for their children. But it is a nice cinema, but you're right, it was kind of taken over... When we left, anyway, with lots of... I hate the phrase yummy mummies.
But that, they were those, though, weren't they?
Well, that's what people call them, because I guess they're yummy. Let's talk about the film.
Yeah. So we went to see Molly's Game. Did you know anything about this film before?
No. And it's weird because looking at the trailer, it's certainly a film that I probably wouldn't have gone to see. But I really enjoyed it.
Can you, because this is the bit I'm really bad at, describe what it's about?
It's weird because I'm not very intellectual these things, but there were definitely themes within the film that kind of jumped out at me.
That is already, you've gone beyond the normal level of intellectualising by saying the word themes we don't use.
Okay.
We like to refer to that as stuff happening in it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk about some stuff happening in it. But so Molly's Game, it's about a girl called Molly Bloom.
Yes.
And she started off her life as like a championship Olympian, almost. The whole first, 20 minutes was about her trying to
The start is brilliant.
The start is really good. It really kind of, it was so tense, it was so well done, and it was really exciting. And it made me think, I just want to be on a piste.
Yeah, it does freestyle skiing. And it's just, you're at her Olympic qualification.
Yeah.
And then you see what happens, but we won't tell you what happens.
No, but it's really exciting. Yeah. So well done, I think, because it's her telling the story and really giving a background of her as a character. Would you think? Like, her as a person? Because the film is about her, and it's a lot of it's kind of going back in time, obviously. So not flashbacks as such, but she's telling the story.
Yeah, so she's played by Jessica Chastain.
Who has the most beautiful makeup. I think she's really beautiful, but I did think she had great hair and lovely makeups throughout the whole thing.
Because in previous films, she's doesn't really wear them. I've seen her in things like, was it Zero Dark 30, where she doesn't really wear makeup.
Mm.
And in this, I thought, you know, she does look quite glamorous at times.
She looked gorgeous. I mean, she had to be glamorous.
Outfits were incredible.
Yeah, amazing tits.
I mean, literally, I didn't know there were that many outfits you could buy or you'd get your tits out in.
She had them all. She's got an incredible rack.
I mean, you couldn't doubt that. You would just think, it was just constant.
Yeah,
constant,
rack.
Constant knockers.
Tits, tits, tits.
You know, actually, you just see, it's just rather than, you don't see the whole. I mean, let's not go into this.
I thought she was brilliant. I thought she's a really good actress. It was really good. You're really on her side.
So what happens? So she basically starts life in California after sort of leaving her, getting away from her really oppressive, sort of strict father, played by Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
And Kevin Costner's actually got a personality in this film.
Yes, he's really good.
Growing a personality in his 50s from somewhere. Kevin Costner's personality arrived.
Yeah. I really liked him. Again, I thought the cast was great. Really good.
Mm. And then she gets into running poker games. That's what the whole story's about. And it's not really spoilers that she's arrested by the FBI because there's lots of...
Now, you see, that's the whole... There's a large chunk of the film that I really went over my head, but it was engaging enough for me to stick with it, and it was exciting, even though I know nothing about poker. It is quite detailed and quite... Perhaps you'd get more enjoyment out of that bit, out of quite a big chunk of it, if you know a lot about poker.
I do know a lot about poker, and I used to play a lot of poker, and I've played some tournaments where there are sort of these weirdos and things like that.
Mm.
And it is one of the dullest... People are so dull and so boring. And there's no glamour in it. It's just...
sweaty men.
Yeah, so almost autistic sort of men who earn lots of money gambling. And when you're doing that and you're skint, you think, I can't lose this. Because you do it as a... Why did it when I was doing well in comedy? I got invited to a couple of poker dudes where they go, you can go, there's a comedian on your table, and that'll be the thing. And it was really boring. And if you've ever been to poker clubs as well, really horrible, weird sort of bravado. And it's glamorised a bit in this, but...
But that's what I mean when I say themes, because there is a thing, it did strike me about, addiction. There's quite a lot there about addiction, and about money, and about greed, and... the power thing, I thought was really interesting. But then that goes back to the director, Aaron Thingy.
Yeah, so...
Because he's very much... He does films, doesn't he?
Aaron Sorkin is the writer and director who's famous, really, for doing The West Wing, which is basically people walking down corridors talking. He also did sort of Moneyball, which I quite liked, Social Network... See, Aaron Sorkin, I feel quite cold towards his stuff.
Really?
He did The Social Network, which I thought was... didn't really... And then he did Steve Jobs, which I started watching with my brother. And it was just so much talking and people doing this sort of weird business type talk. And I thought, I just think, do you know what? Fuck off, Aaron Sorkin. And I just think he's overrated. I mean, it's fine. He's just like... You know,
but then that's his genre, I guess. Maybe that's why he... Because it was very detailed. And that's what I mean about the poker thing. If you don't know about poker, it's quite hard to follow. There are lots of things.
But even then, it wasn't that interesting as a... My problem with it, I didn't really like that scene. And the people I don't like in society are... And most people, but
yeah.
Particularly criminals.
Sure.
Lawyers.
Sure.
And businessmen.
Hmm.
This is pretty much about all of those. They are the key characters in it. So I found, although Jessica Chastain is very engaging and quite a cold character, I thought, I don't really like her because she is a bit of a spoiled brat. And I don't like any of the people in it. They just reminded me of people I've met who are just all just sort of... Yeah, hear business. They were proper businessmen talk occasionally. Or people are getting your train. They talk too loudly on their phones.
Yeah.
And you just think, you're a bunch of bellends. Rich people who own all the money and buy up all the houses. So poor people... can't, like me, can't do anything.
I know, but that's another theme, you know, the whole rich people thing. And she kind of says that she totally knew that it's not just about it is about this thing of winning and greed and accumulating wealth. And you know, you could really see the parallels of her former career as a potential Olympian athlete, and you know, being so driven and, you know, not being weak and being a winner and winning at anything, actually, and doesn't even know what it is that she wants to win at, but just being the best and most successful she can be. And I just, that was a really interesting sort of thing with the whole power thing. And maybe, you know, it is mentioned about the whole, you know, gender thing as well.
Yeah, that
and,
it is,
know, powerful men. And that totally, it piqued my interest, because I was like, oh yeah man, it's true.
For me, the most interesting scenes, I thought the best scene was with her and Kevin Costner and that father-daughter relationship.
I cried.
Yeah, I almost cried at the end. It was a really sad scene. And Kevin Costner is brilliant.
Yeah.
Idris Elba's good in it as well, but I do think he's a bit of a bellend.
But he's great. He's really good.
He plays a lawyer in it, sort of the earnest lawyer. I don't. The problem is with these biopic type of things, it did seem... I mean... They basically made... The story was that... It was written by Marley Bloom and Aaron Sorkin, so she helped write it.
Mm.
But she was pretty much... There was nods to her being involved in... Sort of having... Doing drug addictions. But she was pretty whiter than white for a lot of it, I thought.
Yeah. But then I think maybe that's... You know, you have to get on side with Jessica Chastain playing that character. And I did. You know, I did. I warmed to her. And I thought, yeah, well, she's a... You know... I think she's all right. But yeah, she wasn't... The whole drug thing, I don't know, because it wasn't as if she ever had a big downfall. That wasn't...
Yeah.
Not until the end, obviously, but in terms of her drug addiction, that obviously didn't get in the way of the things that she was achieving, because she was functioning. Like many doctors and very, you know, higher professionals, they do function on lots of drugs. And that's the same with gambling and that addiction, isn't it, really? You know, cool. People think of city boys and their cocaine and their gambling and their drinking. That goes on for quite a long time, and then maybe they crash out. But it's probably the same with all the people that were around that poker table. They're playing for, you know, what? In the end, hundreds of thousands of pounds,
yeah.
Dollars. And they're, you know, drinking all the best booze, and they're probably having lots of drugs.
I wish people got into this podcast.
They won't.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, too long. It was too long.
By a long way.
A long way. It could be a box set, I guess. But it still did sustain my interest. I mean, I saw Dreamgirls. Well, girls, not gals.
Dreamgirls.
I saw Dreamgirls.
Friday night, we're going to go down at the roller disco, go and watch Dreamgirls. Go and get some fish and chips and go...
Yeah, go and see Dreamgirls.
Girl, I go and get fish and chips. I could be back in the morning to see the milkman come.
I saw Dreamgirls 3 times, and it's the worst film I've ever seen. Oh, apart from White House Down, which is on the other night.
This is an addiction,
oh,
Dreamgirls.
It could be, but what I'm saying is that, in fact, I think I saw them on planes and things. I couldn't get out of it.
Why did you just go and watch Dreamgirls?
I don't know,
because
I couldn't get off the plane, so I had to watch it on the plane. There's nothing
I'm looking
else.
Up Dreamgirls, I've never
it's
seen
it. It's awful.
Dreamgirls starring Beyonce and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, but I found myself watching it three times, and it's one of the worst films. I hated it, it's boring, blah, blah,
blah.
It
won 2 Oscars.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, I did not like it, yet I've watched it 3 times, and I can probably remember myself huffing and puffing, like, oh, when will this be over? But even though this film, Molly's Game, is 2 hours, 20 minutes, it still engaged me and sustained my interest for all of that time. Because it's a real story, it's human, it's interesting. And even though, obviously, it's a new story that hasn't been told, even though she's written a book about it, and... You know, obviously a lot of the information must be out there. She must be quite well known in America, but not so well known.
Yeah,
here.
I'd never heard of her, Molly Plume. I did look her up on my phone to see if Jessica Chastain was a fair representation of her, and she's quite saucy. I'm showing. Oh, I didn't look her up on your.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if every top she wore, she had her whammers out.
Well, you would, though, because I once did a shoot in the casino in Leicester Square.
Were you working in production?
I was doing a thing... Oh, it's the most boring thing. We were filming the World Backgammon Championships for, like, Eurosport 5 or something. Yeah, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. I guess like the most minority... Like, it was between Tiddlywinks and, you know, All-Star Monopoly or something. And it was filmed at a casino in Leicester Square. And it was just soul-destroying. You go in and there's just, you know, very thin Russian women walking around giving you drinks and chips. Like, not potato chips, but... gambling chips.
Yeah.
In very glamorous dresses, you know, really kind of just really grumpy. And I just found a bit of onion on my top.
That's normal. As soon as you come into
distracting.
I should now clarify that I made us some corn onion burgers before we had the
they're amazing.
Not just otherwise people are gonna think, who's that onion girl you had on the other week?
I just pick up an onion where I go and just rub it myself before I step up the
good
wall.
Luck.
Exactly.
Really good for your onions. And do you know that if you cut, as soon as you cut them up, they attract bacteria.
What?
So you should never put half onions in your fridge and never leave them out because they're just some sort of magnet for bacteria.
Where should you put the onions in your
up your ass.
Oh. Of my ass. Yeah, sure.
Well, apart from that last bit, that's a genuine fact I saw. So it is, you do get some good information on this. So I interrupted you saying the casinos were grim.
Yeah, they were because, you know, we'd set up really early in the morning. So we'd get there about 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't think the casino would open for, like, gambling until around midday. I think probably now you can have 24-hour gambling. But at the time, I think it's before kind of all the laws had changed. But you just see men there queuing up with their Sun newspaper waiting to enter this den with no clocks, all the curtains drawn. And it is like that twilight atmosphere, you know, low lighting. And so they just, that's all they do. It's just like going into Ladbrokes on the high street and just standing at a, I don't know, standing at the screen watching your horse racing or doing a slot machine. And they just go and, you know, bet whatever money they have. And it's just really depressing because those women, you know, those glamorous women, they are making them feel like they're important and they're nice. And it is a nice environment. And she says that, doesn't she? She says,
yeah.
There was a line in the film where it's like, yeah, this is, because they all fall in love with her, these people. And again, that's about addiction and reliance and power, making men feel, in this particular case, at the gambling table, I guess, making them feel like they're important, like they're winners, because it's about their skill and when they're playing poker and it's that competition. And I don't know, I thought that was a really interesting thing, and there's not really that many films that give that perspective about power and addiction and... You know, there's the kind of ups and downs. And
I thought we could have got into that more, really.
Do you think?
Because I think it was a bit of a mix of her story with her dad, the Olympians thing, the sort of court case, poker itself, and at the end it touched upon that addiction and power.
Yeah.
And I thought we could have gone into that more. It's always difficult when you're trying to tell a story that's based on a novel.
Yeah.
It's really got to be true to that novel.
Yeah, because I guess the whole... The addiction and the power thing, for me, is the reflection, you know, the reflective nature of looking back at her life and her story and the motivation behind what she did and the reason why she was so successful. She was so successful because she was stunning and she was really clever, and she worked out how to do it. Do you know what I mean? How to get these men around the table, you know, sending out her little calling cards, making sure she had players in the game, which players were going to perform which kind of function, even if they were brilliant or if they were really rubbish at playing. And, you know, she was clever about it, wasn't she? It was very well thought out. So, I don't know, it was a really strong theme for me, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is something I've not really seen before in a film.
Huh.
I mean, I've never seen another film before in my life, so I don't know.
You've seen Dreamgirls?
I've seen Dreamgirls
about 12 years ago, and you watched this.
Yeah.
So in 12 years' time, what are you going to watch another film then?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. What a great film to have a look at in. I mean, because I went to a casino when I went to Detroit with my friend Lee to go and watch the Detroit Lions play. The only hotels, they're all part of casinos because place is so shit and run down. So to stay at this hotel, I went walking around the casino because we're so scared to go outside because everyone looked like they were murderers.
Yes.
And you could hear gunfire in the background. And the casino was the most depressing place I've been to in my life. It was still smoking indoors was allowed, so it stank.
Yeah.
And everyone was just looked like they're ghosts or zombies.
Yeah.
Really depressed. No glamour at all.
No.
In fact, I was the most glamorous thing in it.
What?
Yes.
Wow. But that's the thing. All of their focus and their energy is invested in this awful pursuit of, you know, this idea of winning. I don't necessarily think it is. That's the difference, actually, isn't it? If you're winning all the time, yay, great, things are brilliant. But if you're losing, you have to win, and that's the problem, because you are losing, and so you're losing all your money, you're losing all of these assets, and you need to keep winning because it's going to destroy your life. So it's really, you know, it's kind of that balance. But I thought all the characters were really great, all the actors were very good, and I thought that, like, Michael Cera... Sarah, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah.
He was good, and he plays a different character than he normally plays.
Yeah, he doesn't play a nice guy, does he?
No, he doesn't play like a doofy...
But he still looks 12 years old.
He does. He's adorable.
He is like the Karate Kid. He could play the Karate Kid at about 30.
He could, or he could play a Cabbage Patch Kid.
How old do you think he is? I'm going to look him up now.
I think he's 32.
Good guess. I would go for about 31.
He's got beautiful eyes, beautiful skin. He looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Sounds like you want to bone him.
Well, maybe I do.
I'm just going to leave us to awkward pause. He was born in June 7th, 1988.
Oh,
so he's 30 years old.
Yeah,
well, no, and he's 29 years old. What a prick. Oh. How many Vickies would you give it out of 10? I'm going to give it 6 Marricks. Between 6 and 7. I think I'll go towards 6.
Can I give it a half point? A half Vicky?
No, we don't do that here.
Mm. I'm going to give it 7 Vickies.
That's quite... I thought you'd give it 8.
Well, the length was a problem for me, I think. Maybe I'll give it 8 Vickies. Yeah, give it 8.
All right, well, do you want to say anything else about that thing?
I would say if you've got 18 hours to spend between when you leave your door and when you get back, then definitely go and see it.
It is too long with trailers and... I mean, I didn't manage to get through the whole thing about having a wee.
No.
That's normal
never do,
for
though.
Me. Yeah, I never do. But
it was a nice cinema. I did really enjoy it. And I would say go and see it. Maybe not on an evening. Maybe not on a Friday night. Go midweek.
Like, yeah, definitely afternoon. More of a midweek film.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's that then. Now it's time for this. Here's a letter from Simon Iberson, or Iberson, whichever he wants to be. Iberson.
Oh.
Apologies, my stomach's really rumbling. Maybe I've got some bacteria in the onions.
That means I'm going to blow on the way home.
Well, never mind. Well, here is the message. I watched the film Trolls recently, Six Simons, but 2-year-old loves it. John Cleese does the voice of a baddie. Why? Just f***ing why? Who gives a shit? Who is it for? No parent is taking their kid to that film on the strength of him, so why not get someone else who's damn sight cheaper? I really don't understand. If it was, say, Rob Brydon or John Coltrane, that would make sense. What's going on, Marek? I mean, that was quite aggressive.
Wow, yeah, he's really angry
But I agree with that. When I hear Stephen Fry doing an advert,
ugh,
and you're really pissed off, or Brian Blessed, I think, you're millionaires from adverts.
Brian Blessed.
You've employed Brian Blessed to do that voice,
and I have Stephen Fry as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How much do they get? Can you say?
I probably could. Well, I probably can't say.
Oh, go on.
No, I probably.
Is it a lot?
More than the average voiceover.
So,
yeah.
What is the average voiceover?
So, an average commercial for promo for.
So, I should explain. This is when you did your production job.
Yeah. So, I used to work for a very well-known national broadcaster, making promos for international channels. So we would make promos for different TV shows that were on air, and an average promo for 30 seconds, we'd pay about £250 for a voiceover.
For an hour, though.
For an hour, yeah. And so they would record probably three scripts for 30-second scripts, those promos. So that's 250. So, yeah.
Give some of that money to the other actors. Simon Emerson continues, also, I'm currently enjoying the Trolley Christmas special, 5% more because you're in it, Barrick. Yes. Aww. I was. I got some acting work over Christmas. I was in things that no one watches. Here we go. Here is another message from Tim Mason. Dear American guest, insert name here. This is my third time writing in. With you both being surprised that a doctor was making contact. Tim is a doctor.
Ooh.
Did I slag off doctors at the start? No, I didn't. I slagged off lawyers.
And, lawyers. Doctors are good ones.
Yeah, doctors are good. Well done, Tim. This is my third time writing in. Not quite in the Chris Webb territory, but we'll see. Just wanted to recommend a few animations that are currently free on Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
Have you seen any of them? Song of the Sea is an Irish tale that's Studio Ghibli-esque. Your Name, a time-travelling adventure from Japan, now one of the highest-grossing animes of all time, and The Red Turtle, a mystical tale about a man washed up on a desert island, produced in part by Studio Ghibli. Still to watch all of it, but so far it's great. Thanks again for the podcast. Loving your action in, loving your ascent into madness. Best scene for your intros. Keep watching the films, Tim. I have seen Song of the Sea, which is very good.
Is it?
Yeah, but I haven't got Amazon Prime. Have you got it?
No, although I should have done, because I should get my student thing, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate Studio Ghibli, all these weird animations and stuff.
Yeah, I heard about them the other day. What were they doing? I don't know. That's a lovely email from Tim, which is really good recommendations.
Yes, well done, Tim, for your recommendations. It is nice.
And he's right, you are descending into madness.
Well, that's been happening for a long time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, and here is... Oh, you're in luck here, because we've got another email I'm going to read out. This is from Martin Appleyard.
Oh, yeah, I love Martin Appleyard.
Do you know who Martin Appleyard is?
No.
He would run up to Chris Webb in the 2017, I think it was, competition for who is Film Fandango's greatest fan.
Yes.
And Martin took the lead, and then Chris Webb came for victory. Oh. But there's some... I mean, as we'll see, there's some ill
of course,
feeling.
Some nemesis things going on.
Last week we did Films of the Year. Here we go, here's his email. Hello, Mac. Loving the new format, especially when Beth Ainsley is on. She's the keeper. Oh, that's my friend Beth, who did the best films last week. I'll get her back. You asked for people to write in with their top 10 films. Well, I found this impossible, because 2017 has been a big bag of shite for films.
Mm.
Get Out was just a Tales of the Unexpected episode with a bigger budget. I don't know if I... Yeah, well, I think it's overrated. Dunkirk was supposed to be spectacular, but it never looked like there was more than 400,000 soldiers on that beach. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
La La Land was just teeth-gratingly terrible. Mm. The best I can do is a top three. At number three, A Cure for Wellness. Dark castles, weird doctors and a creepy child character. What's not to like?
Mm.
Two, Train to Busan. A Korean zombie movie in the style of a 70s disaster movie. That is very good.
Ooh.
One, The Handmaiden. A beautifully crafted movie, something to look at. Hope you, David, Danielle, Baby David, Buddy, all your other guests and the 10 listeners, except Chris Webb, have a fantastic 2018. Keep watching the films. Thank you, Martin. I'm Yay. Glad you're still writing in.
That's very nice to hear.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from people. Well, it's time for this.
Film quiz. Trivia questions. Facts. Other things.
Well, normally, Vicky, I've been doing my own quiz here. But we have had an email in from Christopher Dodd, who has given us a very own new quiz section.
Chris Doddy. Doddy.
Well, I don't know what he likes to be called. Oh. He writes in, hello, hi, Marek, and guests needing the toilet. And always written guests needing the toilet. Do you need to go to the loo?
No, I went before I came.
Very good. I've put together a Sean Connery quiz for your quiz section with me impersonating Sean Connery.
Yes.
Attached are 5 audio files with short snippets of dialogue from Sean Connery films. But can you guess which films? Good luck, and I've written the answers below for you.
What so I let you exciting. Do is,
have you got IMDb on your phone?
Yes. Oh, no, I haven't. Sorry.
If you want to look up, have you got the internet?
I've got the internet on my phone.
If you look up Sean Connery filmography.
Yes.
Then you can. You're allowed to look at that. And remember, the average score in the quiz is about 1.5 to 2.
Great, because so I'm not really. I'm not a fan of Sean Connery.
Well, this could be difficult.
Mm. But I know some of his films.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's about. Yeah.
I know 3 films that he's been in.
Yeah, I mean, 2 of these I don't really. Okay, here's the first one. Are you ready?
Yep.
Ready, listeners at home?
I love you. It's all my feelings were preparation for me to you. It's like nothing I've ever known. It's unselfish love. Grown-up love. You know it is. It's mature, absolute, thrilling love.
That's a really good... that's a great impression.
So what is your first guess? It's very difficult, that one.
I mean, I would probably... guess that it is. It's probably one of the Bond films. No, it's not, because he wouldn't be like that, would he, Mr. Bond?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know, The Hunt for Red October.
No, it is The Russia House.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Okay, here is number 2. Should be a bit easier, this one.
Okay.
When we first met, you felt ill, remember? That wasn't the first time you felt that sensation, was it?
Oh, another great impression there, Sean Connery.
Guess anything.
The Untouchables.
No, it was Highlander.
I was going to say Highlander. Damn it.
But maybe bear that other one in mind for a bit later on. Okay, next one.
God uses people like you, Lancelot. Because your heart is open, you hold nothing back. You give all of yourself.
Lancelot?
Yeah, there's a clue. There's the clue. What was Lancelot?
He was a knight, wasn't he, at the Round Table?
Yeah, so maybe look through his filmography.
Was it Dragonheart?
Was it
First Knight?
Yes, it was First Knight.
Yes.
You've got 1 point, so...
Oh, great.
Well done. Okay, on to number 4. Here is number 4.
You want to know how you do it? Here's how. They pull a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Oh, that's got to be The Untouchables.
Yes, a very famous Sean Connery scene.
I like that film.
Yeah.
Isn't Kevin Costner in that? Yes.
Yes, Kevin Costner is
Kevin Costner is
the main guy who's really bland. And Sean Connery is playing an American guy with a Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah.
As usual. But he's supposed to be Scottish. No, he's supposed to be Scottish.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be Scottish, but his accent's really
bad. But it's
bad.
Good, isn't it? They've got like a scene on some stairway or something.
That is one of the greatest scenes in film, I think.
And that's the one I can remember.
I put the, with the pram.
Yeah.
I have the Untouchable soundtrack on my iPod and I often play it on the tube.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, weird. So my stomach keeps making really weird noises.
Mm.
Here's the last one.
The last one, okay.
Rule number 1. Never carry a gun. If you carry a gun, you may be tempted to use it. Rule number 2, never trust a naked woman.
Well, I want to say Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. but that'd be wrong, probably.
It's up to you. Do you want to say that? How are you going to say that? I mean,
I just want to say it because it's.
As an answer, or did you want to say it out loud?
I just want to say it out loud.
Okay, fine.
I don't know. Hunt for an October, I've already said that. Oh, did I say it? Yeah, no. I don't know anymore, Sean Connery.
It was Entrapment.
Oh, yeah. Now, is the lady who's married to. Is Catherine Zeta Jones in that?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, she's pretty hot in that one, I remember.
Mm.
Well, you got 2 points.
Yeah.
It's a good score. It's a good score. Why not. You can send in your own competitions, quizzes if you like.
Sure.
If you want to write in, this is what you do. Go to filmfandango.co.uk, click on the contact button and write me in a letter. Please do. I need some more letters. And if you want to help this podcast continue by supporting the trips to the cinema and popcorn, a cup of coffee.
We had a lobster thermidor, didn't we, dear?
We didn't have a lobster thermidor. Okay. Please donate on the donate page for anyone who has. Thank you very much. It really means a lot to me and to my family. Well, that's it. That's the podcast.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. We've got a Twitter thing people can follow you on?
I think it's Victor Booble.
How do you spell that?
VIXTABOOBLE.
Oh, super. You'll find you may get between one or two followers.
Yes.
By accident.
Oh, okay. I do a lot of retweeting of very funny people.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thank you for coming on, Vicky.
Thank you so much, Mark Larwood. I've had a lovely time.
And remember, everybody, this is when you have to do the catchphrase.
What's the catchphrase?
Keep watching the films.
Okay.
And remember, everybody, keep watching the films.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.